Thank you very much. And before I start, I do want to ask you a few questions. So how many of you sleep 7 or more hours on a daily basis? Oh, actually, I was surprised to see that. So another question is, how many of you feel sleepy now? And how many of you think you do need a cup of coffee to keep yourself awake during the daytime? That is a big number. So I ask similar questions in a hospital presentation with hospital nurses. And for the first question, how many of you sleep 7 or more hours on a daily basis? I get rarely nurses raise their head for that question. For the last question, I get almost all of the nurses answer that question for a cup of coffee. And my last question, how many of you are hungry now? So today I'm talking about we are talking about nursing home employees, the relationship of their work schedule, their sleep quality, and their functional disability. And first I want to acknowledge the Center for the Promotion of Health in the New England Workplace. This is like introduction is a total worker health center founded by NIOSH. One of our projects is a 10-year longitudinal study with nursing home employees to look at their relationship between work and health. I will give you some brief introduction of our study in the process of this presentation. And we have no relationships and no conflict of interest to disclose. So first of all is musculoskeletal disorders, and you all know is prevalent among healthcare workers. Some studies even reported over 90% of prevalence of low back pain in some subcategories like nurses or nursing assistants. And also musculoskeletal disorders is continued as a leading cause of pain disability in healthcare workers, and also is counted as 1/3 of the workers' compensation data. And in 2013, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported musculoskeletal disorders count over 50% of the total work injuries and illnesses in the health in nursing assistants, and the primary caused by overexertion, that is because of lifting, transferring, and repositioning of patients. And also previous studies, we know that for the nursing home employees, especially for the nursing staff, they are working demanding work schedules. There are long work shifts, there are night shift work, rotating shift work, and many of them reported poor sleep quality as well as sleep deprivation. So we have a previous study reported over 40% of nursing assistants reported 6 hours or less sleep hours during the daytime, every day. So another one is the bidirectional relationship between musculoskeletal disorders and sleep quality has been documented. And studies showing that chronic pain is a risk factor for poor sleep quality. And people who have poor sleep quality usually reported their pain level more intense. And also people with poor sleep quality from musculoskeletal pain usually has worse musculoskeletal outcomes. And however, we didn't really find any studies about the contributing of demanding work schedules, sleep quality, to the functional disability of nursing home employees. So that is our study purpose. So one of the objectives is looking at whether the upper and the lower extremity functional disability is associated with demanding work schedules. Another one is whether the upper and the lower extremity functional disability associated with all these sleep quality variables. So the study design we did, actually this study is a preliminary data analysis. So we use a cross-sectional data from this 10-year longitudinal cohort study called ProCare. And for our study, cross-sectional data used over 2,600 employees in 24 for-profit nursing homes, which is a mix of unionized and non-unionized nursing homes. In the nursing home employees, we have 36% of nursing assistants from all of the employees who answered the survey. And I give you a brief introduction of our ProCare study, which is a 10-year study with nursing home employees. And actually, we have data collected at seven different time points. And we use the data from our F5 data set, which is a 48 month follow up. So you can see that in this process of data collection, at the beginning of the survey, we do have no lift program implemented in 12 nursing homes, which another 6 nursing homes have already had the no lift program implemented before our survey. And another one is in the middle of this study, we have 3 nursing homes have employee-based participatory occupational health and health promotion intervention. And I have a typo there. Here is like the our last at F6 data set, we have data collected at 23 centers, not 24 centers, because one center was closed. And our measurement for the functional disability is the quick dash for upper extremity outcome measurement, which is we use the short term dash, is 11 items about the arm, shoulder, and head function of symptoms and ability to perform daily activities, and the T-score range from 0 to 100. And the WOMAC, we use a subscale of WOMAC, the functional subscale, and we take 8 items from the 17 items of the functional subscale of WOMAC. So the range score is 8 from 8 to 40. And we didn't use the standardized sleep instruments, but we know that standardized sleep instruments usually have several different sleep factors like sleep duration, sleep quality, sleep satisfaction, and so we use separate sleep variables to assess employee sleep quality. And we also ask one question, is how many number of sleep periods do you have on every 24 hours. So we know that for shift workers, especially like night shift workers or evening shift workers or rotating shift workers, they do sleep at 2 or more different time periods. I have evening shift workers came to tell me that they go home they get home about 1 o'clock in the morning. They sleep from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. They get up to prepare breakfast for their husband and for their kids. After they send their kids to school, they sleep for another 3 hours. So they do sleep at different time periods during the day. And the work schedules we assess including shift work, shift hours, and weekly work hours. So this demographic information shows you, I want to mention about our sleep outcomes. So we do have about 28% of employees reported sleep at 2 or more different time periods, and 40% reported short sleep duration, sleep deprivation, 28% reported poor sleep quality, and we have one question taken from the Insomnia Severity Index, ask participants about their sleep interference with daily functioning, like impact on their daily mood, concentration, memories, and daily activities. So I know here we do have an average score for the quick dash and the WOMAC, and it's hard to interpret, so I show you a interpretation of the quick dash, stratified by gender and age. So here you can see that actually, for our study sample, the quick dash outcomes is better than the general population. So, which is like we know a health worker effect. So, like workers, they're compared to the general population, and their functional is have lower scores, which means it's a better function. And but I do tell you that the quick dash range for our population is from 0 to 88. So we do have employees reported very high quick dash scores, which is poor functional ability of the upper extremities. And the bivariate analysis of the sleep and the functional disability, I will show this quickly. So we can see that it's clearly there. So we can see that if employees sleep at 2 or more different time periods, it's associated with higher scores of quick dash and WOMAC, which is a poor functional ability, so which is more functional disability. And also functional disability for both upper and lower extremities is associated with short sleep duration, and also associated with sleep deprivation and poor sleep quality. And this question actually was very similar to functional disability of employees. So you can see there is a dose response relationship. So when employees reported little or some interference or compared to no interference and compared to much or very interference, there is a dose response with both upper and lower extremity functional disability. And shift work, we didn't find any association of the shift work with upper and lower extremity functional disability. And for the shift hours, which is out of our expectation, we do find longer shift hours is associated with better functional ability. So it's a lower functional disability for longer shift hours. And I will do some, we will talk about this later in the discussion. So another one is about clinical caregivers and nursing assistants. So we do see that clinical caregivers and nursing assistants reported more functional disability for both upper and lower extremity extremities. And we look at other factors. So for both lower and upper extremity, functional disability was associated with older age, female gender, other racial group, widowed or divorced employees, lower education level, having old or disabled dependents, overweight or obesity, smoking, and sedentary behavior. So here I do want to mention one thing is our BMI average for this population is 28.5, with over 70% reported either overweight or obese. And we did a multivariate linear regression for upper extremity quick dash score. So the model one was adjusted only for the sleep variables. Model two was adjusted for sleep and work schedules. And the model three was also adjusted for all demographics and lifestyle factors. We have been finding association at the bivariate level with quick dash. So look at the model three. So we can see that from this study, we see that sleep deprivation, sleep quality was a and also the sleep interference with daily function is an independent contributing factor for upper extremity functional disability. And but for night shift work and longer shift length is a protective factor for upper extremity functional disability. And for the lower extremity functional disability, we similarly find sleep periods and sleep deprivation is a contributing factor, independent contributing factor, and the longer shift hours is an independent protective factor for the lower extremity functional disability. But I do want to mention one thing. You can see that from the table here, the difference was really small. So the conclusion is, so a summary from our study is something within our expectation is sleep deprivation, sleep interference with daily functioning was independent predictors of more upper and lower extremity functional disability. And poor sleep quality is also associated with more upper extremity functional disability. And sleep periods, more than two or more sleep periods was associated with more lower extremity functional disability. But something out of our expectation is the longer shift length, the night shift work was associated with less upper extremity functional disability. So we were thinking about why we have these results. So first one is for night shift workers. Something makes sense is we know day shift workers do a lot of lifting and transferring, and they have higher heavy workload than night shift workers. So that is might be associated with one might be explanation why night shift workers were associated with lower upper extremity functional disability, only for upper extremity. And the shift length, I was trying to think about explanation for that, and maybe some of you can give me some help. And what I was thinking is also like a health worker effect. So if the workers who have this functional disability really higher scores on both upper and lower extremity functional scores, if they have those scores, they probably decided not to do a longer shift. So, and then that is why the longer shift currently is associated with the lower functional disability scores. And another one is for limitations of the study is a cross-sectional study design. Because we have the longitudinal data, so we were planning to look at the data longitudinal to see whether there is association. And it's self-reported sleep and functional ability scores. And another one is the difference is even though it's statistically significant, it might be not be clinically meaningful. So I look at the actually, there is a 2012 study reported that for quick dash score, there is a change of 8 will be a clinically significant difference. And but that means like if the person has a upper extremity disability, upper extremity functional disability, if there is an intervention to see whether the intervention is effective to reduce that disability, that change is age scores will be means there is a clinical meaningful change, the intervention is effective. But for this one, as our healthy workers, and I won't expect that big change for this functional disability scores for these workers. And another one, we didn't consider pain severity in the association between sleep and functional disability. And actually, pain severity could be a moderator or mediator between that association. So I know we probably almost the time there. So I will leave the rest time for questions. And let me know if you have any question or any, you can help me with any explanation why the longer shiftness is associated with better functional scores.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes.
So, could potentially people who are taking a longer shift also be younger because they're maybe overnight shifts, so they're like less desirable shifts and they're longer? I mean, I don't know if you looked at that, like if there was any correlation between age and
actually, there is a correlation between age and shift work, and actually the younger worker are doing longer shift, and the younger worker are doing more night and rotating shift. But for the study analysis, we actually controlled both shift work and the age in the analysis. So we were thinking that is an independent effect of age and shift work. But thank you very much for that suggestion. Yes? That is an interesting suggestion. Actually, we have all these nursing homes now has a no lift policy, so they should use that. But it depends on whether the workers really follow that policy to use that lift. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.